Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the second interview with Mr. Yu San Han, Professor Han, on June the 11th, 1981, at Professor Han's residence by Sue Ellen Chen. And this is the beginning of the third tape.
August 1938, arrived in Los Angeles Harbor on San Pedro, and we were on a Norwegian freighter, 11 passengers, 11 passenger Norwegian Barbara Wilhelmsen line. This is called Taiyang. Taiyang, the boat name was Taiyang. We were fortunate, we got the owner's suite, bedroom, living room, bathroom, and facing the captain. So that was very fortunate. The price wasn't too much. It's a little higher than the second class Cunard or the Canadian Pacific. So we were very lucky. And meanwhile, we were able to bring tons of hardwood furniture. And my collection of scrolls and documents and almost 500 palace examination papers, 电视, 原文的, from 1646 to 1904. Doesn't mean every year, doesn't mean just right along the have Sun Zhi, the very first poor fellows took the examination, admitted, because Chinese resent the mental occupation. They won't take it as good scholars. Then when it comes to Kangxi and Qianlong, Kangxi's time, the calligraphy could indicate was one type. Qianlong was extravagant, and so the calligraphy was flowing and big and full. So the good scholars began to take in Kangxi and Yongzheng, Qianlong. Of course, Yongzheng was a short reign. Dao Guang was also good. But when it comes to Jiaqing was good, Dao Guang was all right. Only when it comes to Xianfeng, began to deteriorate. You see, the Taiping Revolution, 1850 to 1864. So when we reached San Pedro, and the immigration first, of course, we were led to the immigration office. So we sat there from about 9 to almost 11, or 9:30 to 11. Then one officer came out and said, I don't think you folks want to eat with the other immigrants. I'll take you outside. Of course, you pay for yourself. We said, of course. I said, if we have the pleasure, we'd pay for you. Oh, he said, no, that's not right. So we went. My wife and I and the agent, immigration agent, and my brother-in-law and his wife. So we were there. The officer said, well, you may have to appear before a board for the admission. There may have problems. You may have to wait several days, stay in the immigration office. He said, if we admit you, where would you go? I said, well, we plan to go to Boise, Idaho, Senator Borah's home. My friend who was his campaign manager. He said, whom do you know? The boy said, I said, if I say Senator Borah, everybody knows. And also, if I say C.C. Anderson, multimillionaire, everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what Chinese do you know?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I knew a gentleman who owns a restaurant, Harry Fong. I saw this officer's beaming. You know Harry Fong? He said, no, I can tell you. I was lieutenant in police force there. I always go there, eat Chinese food. And he's a friend of mine. And he said, don't eat anything. Let's go back to the office. I'll sign you up.
Ah.
Within 10 minutes, we got up.
That's very.
So you can see, 1926, came in from Seattle. I went to Boise. And a number of people entertained me, because they're friends of my friends. And so Harry Fong took me to a home where he liked, an American home. They are Catholic. And I wrote an article when I reached Chicago 2 weeks or 3 weeks later. It wasn't accepted. I mean, no answer. I'll tell you, this is an interesting story. The old Chinese background and coming to America. So this Harry took me to a home he knows. I suppose the girl was his girlfriend, Catholic, big, husky. So when the doorbell was right in, then this girl came, I forgot her name. But he said, well, here's Mr. Han from China, just arrived, friend of mine. And she came forward and gave me a hug, gave me a kiss on both cheeks. My face as red as red clothes. So when I
at that time, your wife wasn't with you.
No. Well, I wasn't married yet. That's 26. I was my student,
okay.
26.
Yeah,
I was talking to 38.
Mm-hmm.
From 38, go back to the Harry Fong and the lieutenant in police,
right.
Lieutenant, and
yes.
Then the immigration officer.
Right. But now you're talking about
26.
Uh-huh.
And then went to Chicago on my way east.
Mm-hmm.
I saw places. My most embarrassing moment, 100 some words, $1 reward. So I had nothing to do. I stayed in the YMCA hotel. So I wrote out the most embarrassing is a Chinese gentleman, my friend in Boise, Idaho, took me to an American home. And the girl came out after introduction, gave me a hug and a kiss on both cheeks. And my face was as red as can be. So I was greatly embarrassed. They think that's nothing for American public to read that.
Right.
So I did get the dollar.
Yes, but the old Chinese,
yes.
At that time was very.
So my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they have a decent home. He's a principal of Burbank School in Long Beach. And he didn't want people to criticize that his sister married a Chinese. So we stayed at my wife's old friends. I mean, an American lady was very kind to us. A bedroom and the garage, I filled her garage. She had to park outside with our furniture, everything. We brought in a ton of things or more. So we were there until for the rest of the year. We got in August, and then the first of 39, my wife sailed for Shanghai for St. John's University to return to her teaching. So I stayed in Long Beach. Then the best way, my self-support was lecturing to teachers' institutes and high school assemblies. And also Rotary clubs and different service clubs.
Mm-hmm. How did you get all these jobs?
This job is when we arrived, of course, I had the background with a PhD and a professor from Shanghai. And under the Japanese occupation situation, I had to come to the United States. And also my wife was teaching before we were married. She taught a year in Franklin Junior High in Long Beach. So her colleagues and friends, especially the one of the superintendents of schools, Dr. Stone, gave me three lectures. I think it's $100 a lecture, a teacher's institute of all the Long Beach teachers. Mm-hmm. Then from that, I went to LA, teacher's institute. That I confirmed the problem because the League of American Japanese opposed using tax to pay an alien. They were afraid I would speak against them because the war was their penetration further and further. But the superintendent in charge of adult education, evening lectures and teachers institute under his jurisdiction. I heard that. I said, I don't want to embarrass you. He said, I'm embarrassed not by you, but by the Japanese American. They should not. This is, your lecture is art, literature, intellectual, cultural. You don't use that as abuse or your privilege. So she said, oh, I have ways to get money. No problem. So that was in Los Angeles. Then some of the churches in Long Beach, this man I really amused me. He is the principal, the rector or the minister of an Episcopal church. He asked me to speak over the radio, and he said, I won't pay you, just give you a little publicity. I said, all right. I said, I will speak on China, that's all right. So I spoke, and then a kindly elder lady somewhere wrote me a note in care of the minister and closed a dollar bill. That's the only thing I got.
Uh-huh.
And this, I had a letter. You see, St. John's is Episcopal. And so I had a letter of introduction to the Bishop Stevens in Los Angeles. I was going to see him. I called up and made an appointment. And this minister shocked me, because when I went in to see him, and when he leaned back, put his feet on the desk to a stranger and a dignified professor, he said, I told him I'm Chinese. And then the telephone rang, he took it. Oh, he said, my God, God damn it. Can you imagine a minister? And I just didn't like him. I didn't have any more to do with him. And he didn't want me to preach in the church. Didn't want my wife to speak to the audience. So that was it. Until about, let's see, 38, 43 or 44, I was professor at UCLA. One of the professors was his childhood friend, Dr. George a Scotchman, invited us to dinner. He invited this man and his wife to dinner. And my wife, in Chinese, said to me, this is the guy who swore at her. So he couldn't understand, of course. And so he was a little embarrassed because he didn't treat us right. And so the host, our hostel, I forgot which, couldn't understand the background. Say, honey, you must have spoken often to our that you have spoken often to his church. I said, yes, over the radio one night, I got a dollar. He remembers that.
Uh-huh.
So nothing more said.
Uh-huh.
So that was a side issue, but it shows ministers are ministers. Many, even this man, we sent a lot of money to him, Bill Hargis, Tulsa, Oklahoma, American Christian College. I thought that was very good. They have TV programs. But later, he was convicted. Did you know that?
He was convicted.
He used two or three of the young students, men, the boys. So he was convicted to prison. And homo. Yeah. That's quite, from that time, we didn't send any more money. Well, that's coming to 38, 39.
So you were in Long Beach for about a year?
A year, uh-huh. A little over a year. Uh-huh. Then 1940, April, I was called to go back to China. Yeah, so I went to Chongqing.
So when you were in Long Beach, you rent an apartment?
We had an apartment. Mm-hmm. At first, the man and his wife, down below, we rented the upper, new duplex apartment, just two. So, and the landlady lives at the back, an old house, in the front on the place 14 or something, Florida Street, Long Beach. Down below, they complained to the landlady, "What, you have an Oriental above there?" Finally, one day, my wife confronted this man on the, just in the front there. He said, "Were you Edna Quick?" She said, "Yes. I studied with you in elementary school." She said, "All right." Uh-huh. Then she was very strong. Uh-huh. "Then you wouldn't oppose my living there with my Chinese husband?" Oh, she said, no, I'm your student. All right. So that's quite an experience.
Yeah, if weren't that he knows your wife, he probably still continue protesting.
Yes. Uh-huh. So that's the experience.
At that time, did you know any Chinese in Long Beach?
In Long Beach, let me think. Chinese. I didn't think of this question. Later, I'll try to think and make up whom I met and associated. Uh-huh. But mostly it's Americans and.
Right. How about the coming to Los Angeles?
That's later, you see. I went back 40 to China. 41 came back.
Oh, actually, so from 38 to
40.
You were in Long Beach. You never came.
Yeah, from the winter of 38 to spring of 40. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I had two offers. One is from University of Washington, mm-hmm, as instructor, $1,800 a year. Of course, it was a lot of money. That's a year living, reasonably. But I thought, well, from full professorship, I give you instructor. I said, I would hesitate. Right. Once you accept that, I expect to be promoted. It would be hard. Mm-hmm. And then I had an offer from University of Residence, mm-hmm, one of my passports to disguise so the Japanese won't try to try to attack me, but a professor from University of Residence visiting China. Mm-hmm. But I didn't, the newspaper, Long Beach Press Telegram, came out, oh, so nice that Han was appointed to University of Redlands. Mm-hmm. But then in after April, then I decided to leave for China. Then also with some consternation, because on the way I had to pass the Japanese ports. On our way here, 38, that's another story. 1 hour and 45 minutes, a Japanese secret agent grilled me for 1 hour and 45 minutes. And still finally, he didn't have any reason to detain me, but he just warned me. Some are still in Japanese prison. They make anti-Japanese speeches. When they came back here, we captured them. So And when you come back, if you make that, we'll catch you just the same. Says you warned me not to make any Japanese speeches. Then a friend of mine who was a colonel appointed to command the American Marines in Shanghai. So he said, well, travel with me with some reinforcement for Shanghai and for Manila. So Colonel William T. Clement, he said, all right, our man will, as soon as we get in Japan, you can go ashore. So he stayed on board. His, the ship was a freighter, but more than the ordinary freighter, because they were about altogether 150 servicemen. Only two civilians, Bishop and Mrs. Gaudi from Fuchao, old acquaintance of mine, and my friend from Boise, Idaho, support the bishop. So the Romans from Boise, Idaho, support Bishop Gaudi. One time I almost went to the Anglo-Chinese College in Fuchao, because under Bishop Gaudi, and my friend in Boise, Idaho said, well, a scholarship and we'll support you there.
How do you spell Gaudi?
Gaudi, G-O-W-D-Y.
Okay.
Gaudi. And another Chinese from Hong Kong. Every day we play ping pong and play. And let me see what else.
Well, we're back to Long Beach.
Yes.
Did you have enough money to live on?
Well,
during the year.
That's a good start. A good question. 38, we arrived toward the end of August, and then by December, I can show you all the. I made an exhibit of Chinese art, landscape, and such portraits in Palos Verdes art gallery and a library. And I gave a lecture on Sunday. They charged 50 cents per person to enter. That's a lot of money, 50 cents. And the place was too full. So some people complained and asked to repeat it. Asked me, see, would you repeat it from a distance at the back? I said, yes. I said, I can go on for the next year, for the following year. So they came. And then one man in the audience was from Chicago, a multimillionaire, Guy Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L, Guy Mitchell, elder man, plenty of money. He had a house in Florence, Italy, has one in Oxford, and of course apartments in Chicago, and he had a house on Cloverdale, Los Angeles. And we later got so well acquainted as friends that we were invited to dinner there. He had servants and secretaries, so from Long Beach he sent his chauffeur to pick us up. So he saw 12 paintings he liked. He inquired who owns this, and is the lecturer or is someone else, or borrowed it for exhibit. So finally he telephoned us in Long Beach, and if we could come over with his secretary to see the exhibit will finish. So he wanted to see those 12 he saw. He said, are you going to sell? I said, we are willing to consider. I said, how much you, I said, I understand you are well experienced. You have several antique shops in Europe and here. In order to get the cream, you don't care about the business. I said, you are connoisseur authority on Chinese art and some other art. What do you value this? He thought. He said, well, I'll tell you the truth. He said, I'm very sharp in doing business. Worth 15,000 yuan. Mm-hmm. I'll give you cash, $1,500. And in English, my wife understood. Mm-hmm. Then I asked in Chinese, I said, what do you think? 你想怎么样? Mm-hmm. 要不要卖呢? Mm-hmm. 还要跟他还价不还价呢? Uh-huh. 那人说不要还价，就是要我说卖就卖。 他说这可以一年的经费没问题了。 Mm-hmm. So, 1 year's living.
Oh.
You see, at that time, one nickel could buy 2 heads of lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the filing case, mm-hmm. full drawer with a lock, mm-hmm. $24. Take it home. And I bought 2 old TV that wasn't popular yet. I'm not sure, I forgot what it was. $1 a piece, the whole thing. I asked the man, I said, I'm forced to leave my job in China. I want to play with this. And said, I'll take it to your place, not far. You see, this is on Pine Avenue, and we are 14 blocks eastward.
Mm-hmm.
So he took those. Then I took the inside out. The outside, I glued Chinese big coins.
Uh-huh.
先锋,
mm-hmm.
And then made a shelf. Let me see, do I have one here? Yeah, I still have one here.
Oh, probably, yeah.
And so one day some friends came to visit. And he said, would you sell one to me?
Mm-hmm.
I said, how much do you want to pay? He said, I'll give you $5. I said, all right, take it. I was a friend. I said, partially I gave it to you. I bought it for $1.
$1, right.
And also I have the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Then a professor of physics, Willard Gear, professor of physics of Lakewood, Junior College. At that time it was Junior College, now it's a full, mm-hmm. I think it's State University.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just still college. And he saw those. He said, you should give those to me. I said, all right. He said, I'm working on tubes, on lights, on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, jokingly, I said, if you were successful, would you give me some little tip? Oh, he said, I would. You know what he got? He got $100,000 for his work.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't figure it. He retired from USC. Later he became professor of physics in USC.
Mm-hmm. What's his last name again?
Willard Gear.
G-E-E-R. Okay.
His wife, Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
His wife used to be a high school French teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We worked together in Geneva conference. She wasn't in conference, but she was happened to be in the same Panjun state. And while there, she bought a little Bible in French, so she's among Freya, my brother, so-and-so, I still have it. She is niece of Mrs. Roan, Boise, Idaho.
Oh.
So you can see all this.
Tied together, yeah.
Tied together.
Uh-huh. And so you had enough money besides lecturing.
When I left 1940 for China, I had three times as much money
as you when you came in.
First time to get home, and I came in, so I was.
You did very well.
Very happy.
Mm-hmm.
You see that 12 paintings. When I said those 12, we don't miss. We'll after the war. I mean, we'll buy a lot. We can with that money can do a lot. So 1940, I left on this freighter with the Marines and Navy men. No army, just mostly Navy and the Marines. Then one Sunday, I was asked to speak to the group, any subject.
Was this group sent to China to help the war or what?
It's not this group. I mean, I was called by Chinese government,
okay,
indirectly. So I got there, got the commissioner of economic research, central bank. So on this Sunday, I was to speak. The Sunday before I went there, there were only 8 or 9 of us. Then when I was to speak that Sunday, everybody was there. From the boat, and I mean, if this sounds boasting, but there's 2 or 3 of the Navy wives or Marine wives,
mm-hmm,
they went around, everybody says, make contribution, not in little coins, must be minimum $1 bill.
Oh.
And Mr. Han,
excuse me,